meet Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, Dr. Magnus Pike, and Kenneth Williams in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we welcome back Dr. Magnus Pike as our guest this week, with Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, and Kenneth Williams. And they're all going to try and talk, if they can, for just a minute on the subject that I'll give them, without hesitation, without deviation, and without relaxation. I was going to say, that's the first subject. Without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviation. The subject, to begin with, is relaxation. And we're going to begin the show with Derek Nimmo. And Derek, would you start now?
Relaxation is something which I try very hard to find. My wife is often suggesting to me that I should go into the garden and do something relaxing. What she has in mind is chopping down assorted trees and digging trenches and planting bulbs. And at the end, when I came in, she said, "What a very nice, relaxing day you've had." I, on the other hand, do not find that to be so, and have to go off to a health farm from time to time, where I am lying on a bed drinking lemon water and getting underwater massages. Absolutely marvelous. I first had one in Bangkok, and it was lovely. But you can have them in the more respectable places in England, and these I tend to be sent to by my aforementioned bride. I think this is rather a boring subject, really. Maybe that is because relaxation is taking over me and I am beginning to go to sleep at...
Well, Derek Nimmo put everybody into such a relaxed frame of mind. They didn't challenge him for some of the crimes of the game that he committed, but he did jolly well. Derek, you did magnificently. You kept going for 60 seconds. You get a point for that, and also a point for speaking as the whistle went, which tells us that the 60 seconds is up. So at the end of that round, Derek Nimmo has 2 points, and nobody else has yet to score. Nobody else has yet to score?
Nobody else has yet to speak.
No, yes. Exactly.
I couldn't get a point for that, could I?
No, yeah, I'm sorry, Magnus Pike. You can't get a point for that, but it was a good attempt, and one person appreciated it. Peter Jones, will you take the second round? The subject is migration. Would you talk on migration for just a minute, starting now?
It's one of the great mysteries. I dare say Magnus Pike probably knows the answer to it, but not many people do. How these tiny birds, like swallows, for instance, all manage to get together at a certain time of year and decide when to leave and in which direction to go. And then when they arrive, they remain there for a certain period, and then all of a sudden, they are congregating anew and making the return flight with their progeny. And there, when they arrive, they build little mud...
I think we had 2 arrives, didn't we?
He did have 2 arrives, yes. And at last, we've had a challenge in just a minute. First time it's happened. 1.5 rounds gone, and our first challenge, it was Magnus Pike who did so. And the subject is migration. There are 25 seconds left, Magnus, starting now.
Oh, I'd like to tell you about the shearwater that starts up in Alaska, and it flies right down across the globe and ends up in Tasmania. And it arrives so punctually that the people who are going to can it and eat it can order up all their supplies exactly on the day, and then you can eat the stuff. Oh, I just haven't eaten only 3-letter word. I'm allowed that.
No, you're not.
And then they fly back the other way, right through Africa. It's a most extraordinary thing.
What, in tin cans?
They're not the ones that are not in tin cans. Isn't that extraordinary?
No, Magnus, I think you've seen them in a slight misapprehension. 3 or 4-letter words, you can be challenged if you repeat them.
But what about the?
Well, yes, but if you keep repeating the, you'll be challenged, but they'll probably let you have...
Eat
is a very positive, one of the most positive nouns, verbs.
If I ate in a very relaxed way, would you let me off?
You eat in a relaxed way?
Well, I mean, he was relaxed and... Oh, never mind, no, I won't protest. Never.
You're doing exactly what they all do, trying to argue your way out of it, but I'm afraid
I'm quite happy because I think I've told them about this marvellous bird, the shearwater, and it's very, very interesting. Mm.
And there are 8 seconds left for...
They call them the mutton bird when they eat them in Australia, and it's very strange. They do taste like mutton.
Do they?
And you know the reason is because they have so much fat on their muscles that they are like mutton, because they've got to fly all the way to Alaska.
No, the subject is migration.
Isn't it? All right,
and there are 8 seconds left starting
now. Because they saw the cuckoo flying south, and then they followed this bird, who was migrating to New Zealand.
So on this occasion, Derek Nimmer was speaking once again as the whistle went and gained an extra point for doing so. He's increased his lead at the end of the round. Magnus Pike.
You're not very nice, you're a mutton bears. Did you think so? I didn't like
Magnus.
I'm so sorry.
Would you like to have a chat after the show?
No, of course.
Because I think a lot of the audience would like us to play Just a Minute.
Of course.
Like
you
and maybe some of the listeners as well.
What's my subject
endangered
now?
Endangered species through people like
the subject, Magnus, is the Zeeman effect.
The Zeeman effect? Do you want me to talk to you about that?
We'd love you to talk to us about the Zeeman effect in just a minute, starting now.
Right. Piet Zeeman was a Dutch physicist who in 1896 discovered the Zeeman effect. If you take some sodium light, which is yellow, and you put it between the poles of an electromagnet, the beam is expanded, and more than that, it becomes polarized. Because normally illumination is all over the muddle, but when it goes through the Zeeman effect, it's all straight up and down. Did anybody ring?
Derek Nimmer rang you up.
Self-protection again.
I get a point for that, because there's lots of difficulty.
One gets a bit apprehensive here. When.
So what is your challenge, Derek?
Well, the Zeeman was affecting me, basically. But it was a hesitation, but I won't say that.
There was a repetition of...
That's what I thought.
Yes, but you didn't say it. You said, hesitation.
Well, I do... I mean, you... can either be hesitation or
no,
repetition.
Oh, no, it was a demonstration. He was making a demonstration and repeating a certain vowel sound.
No, I think it's very valuable to get... We've got getting education as we go on.
It's very nice to have a distinguished
sound. Because I didn't
scientist.
Know that it went...
Magnus, will you continue to educate us in 35 seconds on the Zeeman effect, starting now?
Indeed, I will do my best to educate you, but under the terms of Just a Minute, it's very difficult to do because you may not repeat essential words for the explication of the extraordinary, mysterious nature of the physical principle which you're trying to elucidate. And if that fellow doesn't ring that stopwatch before long, come on.
Peter Jones challenged you.
Deviation. He's talking about the stopwatch.
Yes, you're quite right. I was trying to bring in the word polarization without repeating it. And it's impossible, isn't it?
Yes, well, actually, you'd lost my interest a moment or two before that.
I should never have come.
I think the show would have been the loss. We would have lost a lot if
and
you hadn't come.
You referred to this fellow. That is Ian Messiter, the creator of this game. You're referring to as this fellow.
Yes. Peter, you have the subject and you have 18 seconds. The Zeeman effect, starting now.
Well, the wonderful actors in the BBC rep are called upon to play many different parts, like waiters, Italians, Spaniards, and sometimes seamen of Cornish descent. If they're not natives, they fall back on Mama Set, and they say, the Zeeman are coming, and they're coming while they're in.
So then, Peter Jones is speaking as the whistle went, gained that all-important extra point, and has been now in second place behind Derek Nimmo. Magnus Pike trails 1 point behind, and then Kenneth Williams has yet to score, to my surprise. So, Kenneth, you begin the next round. The subject is Mother's Birthday. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
My mother's birthday falls on the 20th of December, 1901. I'm sure she wouldn't mind my revealing that fact, because someone pointed out she's always 2 years younger than the year date, which I thought was very interesting.
Not 2 years younger than the year date.
Yes, he did
That's
say
two
the
years,
word.
Isn't
yes,
it?
There's 2 years there.
No, so. I said years than the year date.
Yeah, but it's the word year with an apostrophe yes, so you still repeated the word year.
And it sounds as much like it
Not
as Zeeman sounds like Zeeman.
It's years. There's no apostrophe
Oh,
S.
year's date. Oh. As a phrase, I'm sorry. I always thought you were talking about the date of the year, which you could say the year's date.
Um,
You have to listen so hard, you don't realize how much. There are 44 seconds, Kenneth, to continue on Mother's birthday, starting now.
Oh, Lou, I said to her, because she was christened Louise Alexandra, come through all those rains. No, I was quite dry, she said. I meant the reigning monarch. 5 in all. Imagine that, I said. Well, what would you like for a present, I said endearingly, which is one of the ways I get round people off and on, mostly, of course.
Peter Jones, a chance.
I just wanted to mention my birthday is June the 12th.
Thank you very much, Peter. And
just for Kenneth's benefit.
Yes, well...
I'll remind you again, nearer the time, Ken.
Kenneth gets another point for an incorrect challenge and there are 14 seconds left for Mother's birthday starting now.
On your Mother's birthday, I pointed out a gift is most acceptable. I said, what do you fancy? She said a few prawns. As they couldn't be obtained fresh, they had to be tinned. And unfortunately, she contacted me. I was going to say that they were tinned and she got to main poisoning, so it wasn't a good idea either.
What a happy birthday. Well, I don't think whatever Kenneth Williams had done in that round, the audience would have let me take the subject away from him. So, which is, well, we didn't try. And Kenneth gained 4 points in that round, one for speaking as the whistle went. He's moved into second place, one behind Derek Nimmo and one ahead of Peter Jones. And Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, Wells. Would you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
One of the difficulties the early Christian fathers found was removing the superstitions attached to wells from the old pagan religions that were in this country before St. Augustine came to Kent and the whole spread of Christianity came throughout the British Isles. Well, it still survives in the way that we throw into a well money to wish ourselves good fortune and to bring prosperity upon us. But for me, one of the most beautiful wells in the whole of this country is the city of Wells itself. And I've often been asked to row around the moat of the palace there by the Bishop of Bath and Wells. And directly after, I've never ever actually accepted this invitation, but it does attract me enormously because I particularly like the cloisters of Wells. They are the finest, I think, surviving of all the monastic institutions in this country today, and the great
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of country.
Yes. You travel around the country and you repeat.
Absolutely right. I'm first to sort of admit when I'm wrong.
And magnanimous. 8 seconds are left, Peter. Wells is the subject, starting now.
Well, we're all hoping that this country is going to be saved, economically at any rate, by the wells of oil in the North Sea.
Peter Jones is now in the lead alongside Derek Nimmo, just followed by Kenneth Williams and Magnus Pike. And Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is gluttony. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, it is, to my mind, one of the least attractive of the 7 deadly sins, perhaps because it's usually practiced alone. It's a lonely sort of vice. Not like, for instance, adultery, where you have to have a companion to share the fun.
Now, Derek Nimmo challenged.
Deviation. Adultery is not one of the 7 deadly sins. It's one.
I didn't say it was.
You did. It's unlike the...
Well, I did imply it,
I must admit,
because I couldn't remember what the other deadly sins were.
You're really trying to think of lechery, that's the one.
Lechery.
You would have been okay then if you'd gone into that.
Yes.
But Dr. Magnus Pike's an authority on that, as you can see.
Well, it's the 7 deadly sins, yes.
But actually, lechery isn't one of the deadly sins.
Well, it's luxury is our polite term.
No, lust, you're thinking.
Lust.
No, you'll find that, yes, I don't like that.
Try.
Look it up, Mr. Messenger, look it up, you'll find that.
Well, I only know 4, you see. Gluttony, repetition, deviation, and hesitation.
Envy, pride, lust, gluttony,
Well, lust isn't much fun in joy alone, is it?
Lechery, I don't think so. Anyway, Peter, I'm going to be generous to you. So will you continue on gluttony with 39 seconds left, starting now?
It is, briefly, the awful business of eating too much and then going on and having more, having seconds and stuffing yourself with every kind of food and drink. People make...
Yes, you've got in this time, definitely. There are 24 seconds for gluttony with you starting
with
now.
With me?
No, not with you, Magnus.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I did ring my bell, but a little late, was it?
No, you might have pressed your buzzer, but you didn't ring any bells.
Oh, I see.
Derek's buzzer light came up in front of me first, so Derek got in first, and there are 24 seconds left starting now.
I've always wanted to be a glutton, to mass on a great table huge quantities of smoked salmon and turkey and mushrooms and dried onions, rabbits, squirrels, pig cocktails, tongues, and mutton birds. How delicious they are when they fly into Tasmania.
What's the matter with you?
It's Peter Jones has challenged.
Oh, Peter. I didn't realize. I was fascinated. Yes.
Peter.
Well.
The thought of you eating all that rubbish.
You had that terrible wind. Especially with squirrels. I know what they're like.
He would have had more than wind, I can assure you. Yes. Squirrels are very indigestible.
Terribly tough to cook, too, aren't they?
Peter, let us go back to what your challenge was.
It was... I know what it was. It was deviation.
Why?
Well, nightingales are protected birds, and even if he was crass enough to try to eat nightingales' tongues, whatever that would be like, he wouldn't be allowed to be arrested.
But
anyway,
it would still illustrate the point of gluttony he was making.
He was talking about his own personal ambition, which was pretty appalling, I must say. It certainly blemished the Nimmo image as far as I was concerned. And squirrels and nightingales' tongues, I mean, you know, what next?
Yes, and together. 8 seconds are left on gluttony with you, Derek, starting
now. It has been said of a glutton that he is a man...
Peter Jones has challenged.
If it's been said, he's repeating it. We don't want that.
And you're quite right, Peter. He did use the word glutton before when he said at the beginning, I would love to be a glutton.
Yes.
And indulge in
he
all those squirrels.
He didn't actually challenge on that score.
Yes, he said it's repetition. That's what he challenged on. It's been said before. Repetition. It had been said before. So you have to be so sharp in this position that I'm in. 6 seconds are left with gluttony, and you, Peter, starting now.
If you indulge in gluttony, one thing is for sure. You will get an awful lot of repetition.
Peter Jones has now taken the lead. He's one ahead of Derek Nimmo, four ahead of Kenneth Williams, and six of Magnus Pike.
Six? Oh, gracious me. Mm. I'm sorry you didn't ring in the Dormouse. It's very good here. The Romans used to eat it in their feasts.
To be in the lead.
I've had witchetty grubs. Have you ever eaten a witchetty grub?
Well, I've lectured about them. I think that's better than eating them. But
Have you two finished your conversation?
Yes, of course. So please go on.
Yes, thank you very much. Most generous of you, Magnus. Would you begin the next round?
Would I begin? Yes, it's your turn, actually,
to begin. The subject is fixations. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I'd like to tell you about imprinting, which is the same as fixation. Now, if you take a chicken just out of its egg, or you take a little duck, and you show it a tennis ball, it thinks the tennis ball is its mother. Don't interrupt me. The tennis ball is its mother, and then it follows it about wherever it goes. Now, Mary had a little lamb. Now, this is a case of fixation.
Yes, they have actually buzzed you.
Not too many tennis balls.
Peter Jones.
Well, he said tennis ball was its mother twice.
Yes, I'm afraid you did, yes.
Which seemed...
I would like to buzz, but he told me not to.
Well, I know, yes.
You can try, really.
I must explain to the listeners that Magnus Pike is sitting next to Derek Nimmo, so he can not only hit him when he wishes, but he can also ask him not to buzz. But Peter Jones has actually buzzed and has got...
Hitting I don't like, really. I don't mind the hitting, actually, or even being told not to buzz.
43 seconds, fixation.
Spatter solidly, hour after hour.
It just shows you what scientists are doing in the privacy of their laboratories. I've always suspected that they were up to this kind of thing, like showing innocent ducks and chickens tennis balls and persuading them that these are their parents. And this is how our money is wasted by the official scientists.
Hesitation.
Derek Nimmo, you have the subject, and there are 21 seconds left. Fixations starting now.
I have recently developed a curious fixation. I keep seeing Indian bus conductors walking past in front of me. And I don't quite understand whether this is just an apparition or whether, in fact, Sikhs, Hindus...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
A repetition of weather.
Yes, weather. Don't say there were different kind of weather, but yes, I must explain to the listeners that the person who walked out was a bus conductor, and that was the reason for...
I should explain to you, he's not walked out, he's gone to the gentleman's laboratory.
Kenneth, you had time to go and check during the last talk, did you?
No, he mimed his intention to me.
Well, now he's just mimed to me that he was feeding the meter where he parked his bus. So,
I think we'll continue. His bus in a very peculiar place.
Oh, well, as long as he can get it out afterwards, I think we'll all...
Mr. Parsons, we do not wish to know that. There are Antipodean cousins sitting in the front row. We don't want them to go back and tell those mutton birds the nasty things that they've been seeing.
Well, let us go back to just a minute. The subject is fixations. Who challenges? Peter Jones, a repetition of weather. You see, I have to have a memory as well. And there are 4 seconds left, 5 seconds left, starting now.
I don't know what the subject is. I've forgotten so long ago.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Well, he's certainly not talking about the subject if he doesn't know what it is.
I think he was illustrating it. Fixations.
Yes, fixation. That was it.
Yes. Peter, 3.5 seconds left. Fixations starting now.
Once one gets this idea fixed in one's mind...
So at the end of that hilarious round, Peter Jones has increased his lead, including getting an extra point for speaking as the whistle went. And Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject is Isaac Walton. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Probably most famous for The Complete Angler, which is a book all about fishing, which is interspersed with little homilies, awfully charming, and largely...
It's all about fishing. It can't be interspersed, can it? Because then it wouldn't be all about fishing. The interspersed homilies aren't about fishing. They're about all sorts of things.
Oh, dear, what a difficult... very clever.
Well, I thought I'd better
very
pop
clever
up.
Challenge.
So easily bottled.
And... almost impossible on which to give a decision. So shall I put it to the audience? If you consider
the book is about fishing, and it's interspersed with homilies, and it is a fact, and that is true whether he likes it or not. So it don't matter what they say.
Whether he likes or not, I still wish to be fair to our guest.
I'm not interested in what you wish to be fair to. I'm interested in being fair to myself. I've hardly got a word out in this show. It's an absolute disgrace. Apart from interpreting the mime of people leaving to go to the loo, I don't think that it's
all... Unfortunate thing is that you're often not interested, and that's why just a minute verges on the point of getting out of hand on occasions.
I think I'll put in for conciergerie.
Ladies and gentlemen of the audience, I'm going to let yours be the final decision, because Magnus Pike had a perfectly accurate decision, though Kenneth Williams had a very good point. If you agree with Kenneth Williams, would you cheer for him? If you agree with Magnus Pike, would you boo for him? And will you all do it together now? I think the chairs have it. In other words, you're completely biased and prejudiced. You want to hear from Kenneth Williams on Isaac Walton, and there are 54 seconds left, starting now.
The reason he was so inspired to write the treatise was due to one Marmalina Eveleen, and he said, "Oh, that I might plant an English kiss upon your lips." And she was delighted. And she let him do it not only on a aforementioned...
Derek Nimmo. Bad luck, yes.
Well, she did let him do it in all sorts of places. That's the whole point.
But you couldn't...
Quite an interesting story about Evelina there.
I know, and I'd rather have heard it than won this game.
Oh. But Derek's challenge was an accurate one, and there are 34 seconds left for Isaac Walton, Derek, starting now.
Well, Isaac Walton was very influenced by Dean Knowles, the distinguished divine who was at Westminster Cathedral in the 16th century, who was indeed a great fisherman as well, and a fisher of
Kenneth Williams.
We are dealing with the Dean now. We're not dealing with Mr. Walton, I'm afraid. We're off on the Dean of something or other, which really nothing to do with the subject,
Mike,
and
Mike,
I do feel...
Kenneth!
Strange.
And, of course, as he ran, he erred, and, of course, that was hesitation as well. So there are 22 seconds for you, Kenneth, to take over the subject again of Isaac Walton, starting now.
He's not so well known for the fact that his brother Arthur, who was sometimes called Art, and also had another name, which was Easian, invented the Art Easian Well, which was sunk. That's an absolute fact. It was sunk, and he got sunk with it, and was drowned.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Sunk twice.
Yes, you were sunk by your own petard there. There are...
That isn't right. It wasn't Artesian, was it? Can't be. It's good. I said...
It's the same reason I said sunk instead of hoisted on his petard, you see. There are 7 seconds for Isaac Walton with you again, Derek, starting now.
Isaac Walton. That is a name that I once saw imprinted upon a newspaper in Tehran. And the funny thing...
So, I've just been told we have no more time to play Just a Minute. Magnus Pike returning in triumph, but against a very tough opposition who didn't give him any mercy. Yes, they didn't give you any quarter, any mercy, but you contributed magnificently, and we loved having you on the program, Magnus. You finished in fourth place. You came...
Not at all bad. It's like the Oxford Cambridge boat race. You can't be worse than second.
It'd be a great achievement to get into fifth place. Kenneth was in third place. Peter Jones held the lead magnificently, but Derek Nimmo, with that last flourish, caught him up. And so we have joint winners this week, Peter Jones and Derek Nimmo. We do hope... that you have enjoyed Just a Minute, enjoyed listening to it as much as we've enjoyed playing it, and will want to join in again at the same time next week. And once again, we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browell.